And now, the Wad Fam Chalk Pod.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to the pod. I'm Dylan James Weaver, but most folks around here just call me Dylan. Why don't you get the whole family together and join us for another exciting episode of the Wad Fam Chalk Pod. Welcome to the Wad Fam Chalk Pod. I'm Dylan Weaver.
I'm Andrew Sabo.
And we're back again this week. We are talking about episode 564, A Most Intriguing Question.
Yeah, this is the last... I mean, so these are all individual episodes. The coming three that we're covering, like the Eugene
it's
Returns.
It's a three-parter.
Yeah, but it feels like a three-parter.
Yeah.
But they're not...
They're not labeled parts, but they're all named the same way.
Yes.
It's a three-parter.
Yes. I don't know why Odyssey does that.
I mean, why not? What's the downside?
It's less clear, I guess. We gotta preach to the lowest common denominator, you know? Sorry, guys, we didn't acknowledge the fact that we just put out our 40th episode last week. So, there you go.
41st, if you count the Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. No? No?
Yes.
Oh, you're yes. Right. Yeah, 41st if you can.
Don't fight me.
It's true. You do edit this. You know.
I number the episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. We've breached the 40 episode mark, which is, in hindsight, a lot of episodes.
Yeah. No. We've been talking about Novacom.
And Odyssey.
For so long.
Yeah. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. We did like 30-some episodes on just Novacom.
Yeah, and then we did the post-Novacom stuff.
And we're still doing the post-Novacom stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing is that, like, we've reached the point where we're about to enter in a year of recording this show.
Yeah.
And we have 40 episodes to show for it, which is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, most shows would have 52 in a year, but...
Well, we have lives. We do other things. We don't get money from Patreon.
No. No. Crazy. So, this is our first episode of our three-parter about Eugene returning. That will be the last Novacom connected thing that we cover until they do new episodes that are Novacom connected.
Then we'll come back to it. Yeah.
Back when they decide to reintroduce the chairman 20 years after the fact.
That would be appropriate. He's actually in a wheelchair. That's why they call him the chairman. He's aged 20 years, and he wheels around.
It's just Duncan.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That would be dark.
What if Duncan was the chairman the whole time?
I don't see anybody else in a chair.
Except for us.
True. We do record this in chairs. We're not stand-up podcasters.
Nope, nope.
I don't know anybody who is.
Mabim Bam does an episode where they do, and it's real bad. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's noticeably worse than all the other ones.
That's funny. This episode is written by Nathan Hubler and Paul McCusker, and directed by Marshall Younger and Paul McCusker.
Mm.
So it's Hubler-McCusker-Younger-McCusker joint.
That's a law firm, right? That's definitely a law firm.
Hubler, Younger, and McCusker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or come
Hubler,
to
McCusker,
us.
And Younger?
Have you been injured on the job? We'll make you feel like it's your fault.
Yeah. This episode is track 4 on album 44, entitled Eugene Returns.
Yeah. It's so interesting that they would title the album that, and also not and not titled this, like, these tracks, like, Eugene Returns Part 1, 2, and 3.
Well, okay, so you want to know the reason for that?
Sure, go for it.
So these episodes aired before they were released an album.
Yeah.
Which is standard for Odyssey. And they, like, it was a mystery what these episodes were about.
Oh.
Like, the reveal at the end of this that Eugene is back was the first the audience knew that Will Ryan had returned after not being on the show for 5 years.
Yeah, that is nuts. So, 5 years of real time with no Eugene.
Yeah.
Yeet.
Well, with some archive audio, but that's it.
Yeah, for like 30 seconds.
Yeah. And yeah, speaking of dates and whatnot, this aired April 2nd of 2005, which is a year and a half after Something Blue, which we covered the last 2 weeks, and almost three years after Exit.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts. And then we also, we're breaching the barrier of how old I was when I started listening to Odyssey. So
yep.
I would have been 4 or 5. So I was about that age when I started. So
yeah, interesting. I remember these episodes. I don't remember them coming out.
Oh no!
But I remember getting the albums because I had, so for album, like for a couple albums there, 44 and 45 in particular, they did split albums where they released half the album, like you could buy both halves of the album separately or you could buy the album combined. And so I had half of this album and half of the next one. Actually, my younger brother did. But like when we got those were like the new episodes.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So there's a note in the official guide discussing this this whole like keeping this ruse up about Eugene's return and whatnot. And it was like, it blows my mind because, you know, we exist in the age of the internet, and this was 2005. The internet was plenty big at that point. Like,
yeah.
That they were able, they like successfully made it to airing without it getting spoiled, which is incredible. I imagine there was probably speculation that that's what it was about because they were making such a big deal about it. They had like a countdown on the website.
Oh, okay.
And all that stuff to this episode. But yeah, they managed to keep it under wraps.
Very impressive.
And
is that, do we have any additional context / guest actors?
Yeah, we can do some guest actor work. We have Matt Hurwitz as Dr. William Foster. Matt Hurwitz is an Odyssey regular. He was the voice of Mr. Jefferson.
Oh, okay.
Alex's dad, and we were covering that stuff, as well as like 50 other roles. And then we have Audrey Wasilowski. Wasilewski? Yeah. We have Audrey Wasilewski coming in as the new voice of Katrina.
Yeah. I didn't know that was a different voice from before, but I noticed she sounded different. Is that just for this time, or this is who she is from?
This is going forward. They were not able to get Pamela Hayden back. And so they cast her, and she has continued to be Katrina
since.
Ever since.
Interesting.
And then, and she has a ton of credits on IMDb. She's done a lot of voice work, but also appeared on screen a bunch with roles in Mad Men.
Who was she in Mad Men?
Anita Olsen Raspola?
Oh, yeah. Anita Olsen, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
She's Katrina's hot.
Okay. Things I was unaware of because I have not watched Mad Men. She's also a secretary in What Women Want, which I think is funny, and has done a lot of voice work on the show Clarence, as well as 211 IMDb credits.
Wow.
Which is, yeah.
That's a wow.
Yeah, she does quite a bit. And then also, I guess we're going to hit on Will Ryan
Yeah.
Because this has been our first time actually having him in an episode that wasn't just reused footage since we've been covering it.
No, he's in the very beginning of Nova Combat.
Nope.
Are you?
Yep.
Okay.
It's all. Well, all of Novacom just uses archive audio of him, but Will Ryan is like a big Disney guy.
Okay.
So he was the voice of Tigger.
Yes.
And Rabbit.
Yes.
And Petrie in The Land Before Time.
Yes.
And a character called Willie the Giant on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Yep.
And the Seahorse in Little Mermaid.
Really?
He's done almost exclusively voice work for Disney.
He's very good.
Yes,
he is. And this episode, well...
We barely hear him
in
this
episode. Yeah, we don't really hear him in this episode.
We hear one or two words from him.
But that's enough to know it's him.
Yep.
He's a very distinct vibrato.
Nocturnal felicitations.
Is that what he says?
Yep.
Okay.
Those are his first new words in this episode.
Of course they are.
So that's...
There you go.
That's that. I think we're going to do the promo now, then.
On the next Adventures in Odyssey, it's something big.
That settles it. There's something going on.
Whit is working on a secret project.
No doubt about it. It's mad scientist time again.
It's more serious than anyone realizes.
You know you can't keep this a secret for long.
This is so weird.
Stuff me with spinach and call me a souffle.
Go, now.
What's going on here?
Listen to Adventures in Odyssey to find out.
What is that music?
Intrigue, suspense, action, mystery.
It sounds like a cutscene in an old movie where it's a bunch of newspaper headlines flashing across the screen.
Yeah.
Batman
fair.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get from that.
It's all keeping that theme of like we're keeping this a mystery, but there's something big happening.
Yeah.
Who knows what it is?
Yeah, this episode is uniquely weird in a lot of different formats.
Mm-hmm.
So the episode begins with there's a monologue from a agent on the phone talking about coming to Odyssey and stuff like that. It's very vague, but
Hal's Diner. He mentions Wit's End.
But before that, doesn't Chris say something?
So Chris does her. And now Adventures in Odyssey. But his car audio starts first.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's coming through like his radio or something.
Yeah.
And then we get into it.
Yeah, we get we get it at the end as well when she says, why didn't anybody tell me about this? That Eugene was back. And it's weird because it's like, Chris has been established as a part in the universe, kind of.
She used weirdly,
to be a character.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, she used to be her own person, and like she would speak in terms of like knowing characters from Odyssey personally and stuff like that. And so,
always existed in a weird limbo between the show and reality.
Yeah, and narrator and then at the end when she says like, well, why didn't anybody tell me about this? Like, I guess with the context of understanding all the buildup before this and all the suspense, I guess the point was that nobody knew, including not even Chris.
Right.
But like
that was the...
I took that as she's in the universe and this is just some weird throwback to like the first 10 years of the show. Where we had those weird Chris intros with watering plants and then music coming on and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to covering those sketches. No idea how we're interpreting that for our show.
Ay. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
So we get this. We get a good intro. We get the monologue. He's talking about getting breakfast at Hal's Diner and it's like some of the best food he's ever had or the best breakfast he ever had, and then he says he wants to go into Wit's End to get a shot of espresso or something like that or a cappuccino, and then we get the intro and then we cut to Tom and Bernard fishing,
yeah,
which are
two favorite characters
we haven't heard much.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Bernard in a really long time.
Yeah.
Haven't heard a ton from Tom recently.
We haven't heard from Tom since Novacom.
Is he not in any of the Connie Mitch stuff? Maybe not. Bernard's in the one.
Yeah.
But yeah, regardless.
Loosely.
Glad to have them back and be kind of the focus of this.
Well, and yeah, I mean, as the audience might remember from my interview on the Welcome to Odyssey blog, Bernard's one of my favorite characters. So,
yeah, that's true.
Very enjoyable to have him back. And so they're out, presumably like Trickle Lake or something like that. They're out fishing kind of by the mountains.
Mm-hmm. They're, Bernard mentions there's trout the size of school buses.
Yeah.
They're yeah, I think walking from their car to the fishing spot.
Yeah.
When good old Mr. Whitaker
blitzes by in his Tercel.
Yeah.
And does not stop.
He does not have a Tercel.
He doesn't?
No, the Tercel was bought in his name.
Oh, the Tercel was bought in his name. Okay, I was wrong.
But yes. The Tercel. I don't know what drives. It's something old. And so he flies past and they're... Yeah. Very
weirdly upset that he doesn't stop, which, like, if you're driving at 6 a.m, chances are you have a place to be.
Yeah, and also, like, maybe he didn't notice you.
Yeah,
that's also
an option. They get very upset, which yeah. I find confusing and also ridiculous, but it's a plot device and whatever. And so they try to flag down Wit. He drives past, And they're so confused as to why he's driving to the mountains early in the morning. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? You're in the mountains early in the morning. Like, you're fishing. Couldn't he be doing the same thing?
No.
He couldn't be hiking? No. He couldn't be camping?
Nope.
I guess not. Oh, well.
He's got to be up to something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we get, like, a little folksy score interlude that I dig. And we get to a scene with Connie and Wit at Wit's End.
Yeah. Where Wit comes in, like, visibly very tired. And is talking to Connie. And Connie's, you know, asking him about, like, you know, like, how he's doing and stuff like that. And he seems very aloof, very tired. Says he's been up late working on the Imagination Station because he left it on and she noticed and she brings it up. And then Wit's just, like, terrible at being aloof, because he's just, like, says all this stuff, says he's tired and wants to go home and take a nap, and then just leaves again. Like, that is not normal in any way. You could at least try.
Yeah, no, he's not doing a great job of, I don't know, faking it. Like, he is so distant.
Yeah.
And obviously secretive.
Yeah.
And then Bernard walks.
Yeah, we get Bernard and Tom busting in.
Yeah.
And
they're asking if they got back from fishing. We're hoping to see Wit and talk to him about...
Well, they're angry. They're, like, visibly, like, upset. Like, he blew by us. Like, I think Bernard says something like, he shouldn't be trying to be a role model for these kids if he doesn't, you know... behave respectfully on the road or something like that.
No, it is basically that line.
Which is nuts.
Yeah.
Which I hope it's joking. It seems fairly joking. But like also, what?
Yeah, and then, so they go through this whole relaying their information to Connie and she keeps repeating it back. And Bernard has this line that is one of the ones that has always stuck with me. Probably because I own this album, but he's like, are we playing Polly Parrot today?
Yeah. Are we playing Polly Parrot? She's like, which the funny thing is, she's doing what the show does, and that's just having expositional dialogue.
Because it's only a dialogue show.
Yeah, exactly. And
no narrator.
Yeah, and Connie, like Connie jumps in on the fact that, like, Wit is clearly off and, like, there's a problem here and whatever, and she's just like, she's gone full tilt into this at this point. And then we then Bernard coins the term, oh no, is it Bernard or Tom? I think it's Tom coins the term mad scientist Wit, which is
no, it's Bernard talking about he says it's mad scientist time again, and then like goes to explain like, you know, it's up late,
yeah,
secretive, all of these things, like we've seen it before. Mm-hmm. We have.
Yeah.
And he's like, and it always ends with like some government agent getting involved.
Yeah.
And Tom's like, we didn't say anything about government agents. He's like, no, but if you look outside, there's one right there.
Yeah. And then he says like they're all driving the same boxy cars and yep, like, the same suits and stuff. And it's very funny, actually. And also like,
yeah,
I'm glad that characters are acknowledging that this is a thing. And also like, how do you coexist with the fact that Wit is a normal person that also is, like, a inventor extraordinaire that creates technology that governments around the world covet?
Yep. And an archaeologist and the owner of an encyclopedia company and part-time god.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, that man's, that man's working, like, 34 hours a week as god. He can't quite be considered full-time, but... he yeah, gets the benefits.
Yeah, and so they Tom's like, nah. So they're discussing like, oh, what do we do about the government agent? Are we gonna stare at him, let the air out of his tires, yeah, all that stuff? And Tom's like, no, we just take him a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And they all go across and meet Dr. William Foster of the National Institute of Health,
who has fallen asleep in his car.
Yeah.
And
fell asleep on a stakeout.
And then Connie charges him $1.50 for coffee that he didn't ask for.
Correct.
Which, $1.50 for a cup of coffee seems a lot at Wit's End. I mean, it's pretty fair.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised. In my head, it's like a nickel or something like that. Or pretty much free. I guess that's a nickel funny. Is pretty much free, but, you know.
Yeah. Although I'd rather pay a quarter than a nickel.
It's a bad form
of
currency.
Make me carry around nickels?
No. Well, and then if you pay with a quarter for nickel coffee, then you're stuck with two dimes, which is almost as bad as having a nickel.
Right. I'd rather take the four nickels because then I can just use them every day. Or be Monday, I give them a quarter and yeah, say,
"Hey,
this is the rest of the week."
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. You start like that, and so yeah. So they bring him the coffee and whatever. And then they just kind of leave, and Bernard makes a crack about, like, oh, next time, Leo, let us know you're out here. We'll make you some eggs or something. And then, yeah, we get another transition to, with, like, really good music. This episode has weirdly, like, atypical music, but it's good. I like it a lot.
It
you mentioned it
music.
Earlier. And then we get Dr. William Faulkner on the phone with Wit.
Foster.
Oh,
not
I have it in
Faulkner.
My notes. You know,
William Faulkner is a person.
In Odyssey?
No, in real life.
Who's that?
I think he's an actor.
I'm not going to look it up. I think he's definitely an actor, though.
Yeah.
I heard Faulkner the first time, and then I heard Foster. So, like, he's in my notes the second time as Mr. Foster, and then, like, for the rest of the episode he is. But that first time, I could have sworn it was Faulkner, and so I wrote it down.
Nope.
Yeah, so he's on the phone with Wit. Talking about, like, kind of giving him a brief introduction, like, who he is. He works for, you said, the National Institute of Health.
Yep.
Saying that he's interested in the research that he's doing, and they don't have much time because, you know, people are on to him
yep.
and stuff. And then it kind of ends there.
Yeah, pretty much. That he just, yeah.
It's a very brief, like, encounter. Like, this yep. this episode is very point A to point B as far as dialogue yep. is concerned.
Yeah. This is going to be another one of our episodes where it's a little bit more plot recappy than it
yeah.
is anything
commentary.
Else.
Commentary. Well, I do have some notes.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is so much roasting of Connie in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh my lord. Some of the jokes they make are horrible. So, speaking of that, Bernard calls Connie at like 4 in the morning because he sees the lights on in Wit's End.
Yeah, no,
or he
it's
sees
not,
the alarm.
Yeah, it's the alarm's going off. It's a silent alarm.
Yeah.
It no longer contacts the police because Nick kept setting it off accidentally.
Because of
which
course
is
he does.
Terrifying.
Yeah. What is he doing? That? How do you accidentally set it off?
Oh, I imagine he's smoking.
Oh, Was it a fire alarm?
I don't know.
I thought it was a silent alarm, like they have in banks where it's like you're under the counter and you just kept it.
He's maybe just klutzy.
Yeah.
Because he's Nick.
That makes sense.
He keeps bumping it with a mop or whatever.
Well, and then he could be bumping it with a feather duster, as we find out later. And so that happens, and so they end up going down, which it's never explained as to why Bernard's up at 4 in the morning and outside of Wits End.
He's going fishing again.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay. I missed that part. Thank you, Dylan.
Clearly. That's what I'm here for. That's why this isn't an Andrew Sabo solo pod.
Because I would have given up on this a long time ago.
You wouldn't even have started it.
Nope. No, I wouldn't have.
And so Connie decides to go over to Wits End. She asks Bernard to stick around. Mm-hmm. So she's going to come and check things out.
Yeah.
At that point, though, where she says she's going to do that, the alarm had stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. So the alarm had stopped. She comes by, 30 minutes later because she has to shower. Yep. Bernard roasts her for having to shower.
Yep.
And not wanting bed hair and whatever, and then says, there's a difference between, at least one of us is attractive or something.
I'm with Bernard on the showering thing.
Yeah, it's nuts. Come down there and
put on a hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the reason hats exist.
Yeah. Yeah, especially wearing hats at nighttime when they're not even supposed to keep the sun out of your eyes. Right. It's just to not show your hair.
Yeah.
And so they see the lights on at Wits End.
So they walk in.
Yeah.
And they're looking at the Imagination Station?
Yeah, because the Imagination Station is on.
No, it's open.
Oh, it's open. It's open. Sorry.
The door's open because Connie walks in and there's scenes from her life playing. And then she walks out and Bernard walks in. There's scenes from his life.
And we get this whole no, it's showing me. No, it's showing me. And then they finally are like, Bernard's like, it's a mirror. Yeah.
She presses a couple buttons, finds out that it's called the Memory Stimulator Program.
Oh, I missed that part. It's good. I really like the sound engineering for the Imagination Station. It sounds super, hearing the programs in the background sounds good, but also, the sounds specifically that it makes, it's weirdly satisfying.
I love it showing these clips from old episodes, too. Connie's original introduction, sort of thing.
And stuff with Bernard and whatever. It's very good. And it's so funny how, the audio, it's supposed to stimulate memories, and then as a listener, you hear it and you're like, oh,
right.
I remember exactly what's happening here.
Yeah.
secondhand, perhaps intentional, perhaps not.
And then what? And then we jump upstairs to where Wit and William Foster are watching the cameras.
Yeah.
So they decide not to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, Connie and Bernard leave. And we jump scenes.
Yeah, we cut again.
It's Bernard and Connie and Tom now talking about the whole situation.
Yeah, they're talking. Is it at Wits End the following day?
Presumably. Yeah, I think it must be at Wits End.
And they decide to do a group intervention.
Yep.
They're trying to figure out, we need to talk to Wit or something like that. Or, what do we do about this? And Tom's like, we should talk to Wit. And then Connie's like, no, we should have a group intervention. And then she explains that that's just talking to somebody. And Tom's like, man, I wish I had said that. Oh my lord, everybody roasts Connie this episode.
Yeah, the jokes are just solid.
They're really good. I feel bad for not covering all of them individually because there are so many good ones, and it's
Bernard's
rapid fire.
All one-liners.
Yeah, that's his whole
character.
Quippy. I don't know if I picked up on that as much as a kid as I do now, but oh my lord, he's a joke machine, and this episode at least, it is 90% roasting Connie. And then he makes a joke about having mental health or something like that earlier in the episode.
The comment is when they're talking about the National Institute of Health.
Yeah.
Tom's like, oh, I know you guys. You deal with mental health.
Yeah.
Probably because of his wife,
Agnes.
With Agnes and all that stuff. And he's like, actually, there's more than that we do. And then Bernard's like, well, if it's mental health, you must be here about Connie.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh.
Because that's during that bit where they're all joking about, like, oh, you could follow me when I go wash windows. Yeah. You could follow me when I pick apples, whatever Tom says, like that whole thing.
It's so good.
It's really great.
It's such a quippy episode. And I guess I made the comparison, it feels very, like, Cal and Alex, Bernard and Tom. There's a good parallel of like two different people that are clearly like good friends that kind of riff off each other really well.
And then Connie's Mandy or Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Liz. They all take turns.
Which one's
that,
the most annoying?
That pairing. Probably Liz.
Yeah.
So they decide that they're going to corner him at the one time they know he's going to be available.
Which is at wit's end at 4 a.m. by the imagination. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bernard makes a joke about wanting a mob with torches, which I think is funny.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So we cut to the next morning then.
Yeah. At 4 a.m, they're sneaking through the tunnel.
3:30, buddy.
Oh, 3:30. Sorry. Sorry.
Stop rounding, Andrew.
It's true.
You said it twice and I allowed it, but the third time I'm like, no, now I have to step in. We're going to be tweeted at.
That's true. We will get tweeted at. Well, maybe we won't. I don't know. Please do it anyway.
Now, I don't think anybody's ever tweeted at us over something that small, which I do appreciate. Even though I want tweets, that would be a little bit much.
I wouldn't mind. I bet the any interaction is good interaction point in this.
All press is good press.
Yeah. That's where I've reached.
That's funny.
So they
sneak in through the tunnel.
Which, again, really good sound engineering.
Yep.
Sounds super dank.
The classic tunnel maneuver.
Yeah.
Which is the way to sneak into its end.
Again and again. And so, yeah, so they're sneaking through the tunnel. They get, they talk about the dead spot and the security cameras, which cover everything except for there's none in the tunnel. And then Witt's workshop and the back staircase up to, isn't it Witt's office or the Bible room or something like that?
Yeah, Witt's office. Both Bernard and Connie kind of move stuff around when they're cleaning.
Yeah, because Connie mentions that she bumps them with the feather duster. Yep. And then Bernard says, I knocked them with my squeegee too.
Yep.
And I don't know if that was intentional the day before.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no. They're talking about it as though they both decided.
Yeah.
Like, they both made these efforts to hide it more, because then Tom's like, I don't know if I want to be around you guys.
Yeah, well, because they make the comment of, like, this is, like, it's unlike Witt to have dead spots in his security for, you know, such a place.
And they put the dead spots there.
Yeah.
But then so before they, like, leave the tunnel or whatever, mm-hmm. Tom takes a moment for them to pray.
Yeah. They're, like, they're worried as to, like, well, what do we do? And Tom's like, wait, you know, guys, like, before we do this, like, I think we should pray. Which is very good. Like, I think it's something that I really respect that people do, that I try to do a lot in my life, is right before I have a serious conversation with somebody, is to pray a little bit. Like, not even a lot, just be like, you know, like, hey, God, like, you know, please help me to be centered in this and for me to convey your truth and, to speak truth in love as opposed to just go off on somebody. It was really good. And also, like, the first mention of anything remotely religious in this episode.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then cuts to Mr. Foster and Witt.
They catch the door.
Yeah.
The door is open.
Yeah.
Where it once was closed at the kitchen.
Yeah, because so Witt's like, I shut it.
Yeah. They're coming. And Foster asks if they can interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no. And then they show up in the room with the imagination station and they're like moving there, and Witt's like, All right, now I gotta go down and
they show up in the room with the imagination station. Witt goes down, talks to them, tries
they're about to open it.
Yeah.
And then Witt's like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, if you're out here, who's in there? And he won't say, and then
Witt's super aloof, and then he
machine cycles down.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, you guys got to get out of here.
It's been turned off from the inside, I think, is what he says.
Yeah.
And then, it cycles down. And then they get put up in Witt's office, I guess.
Yeah.
With Mr. Foster. And they're looking at the security cameras. And then they say, like, well, did he say, like, he didn't say anything about us, you know, not being able to watch on the security footage.
Right.
And so then,
they're talking like, hey, wait, step aside. Yeah, you know, he's blocking. And then we hear...
turn the voices on and stuff.
Nocturnal felicitations. What? And then Whit steps out of the side and it's like, it's Eugene!
Yeah.
And then we cut away.
Yeah, and then that's it. And then we get a weird, like, Chris outro, which we mentioned before, where it's like...
What? Nobody, why didn't no one tell me about this?
Yeah.
Which, yeah, is only on the radio version, not the album version. But
okay. And then also on the radio version, we get, like, the clips from the next episode?
Yeah.
Is that a thing that happens?
Typically.
Okay. Yeah. Normally we listen to album versions, but this one we listen to the radio one.
Yeah.
So I was very caught off guard by it.
It aired it aired in the past year, so I have been hoarding those recordings. But yeah. So yeah, that's the episode.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to do a little bit of a dive now in from the official guide about this discussion of how do we bring back Eugene. And this ends up being a lot of stuff we're going to cover next episode as well, as we find out more about like why Eugene's returned. But I think I'm going to actually address it in this episode, because let's be honest, if you're listening to this one, you're going to listen to the next.
Exactly.
So I don't feel like I'm spoiling anything. But yeah, it's Hubler writing, and he's just talking about, you know, Eugene's been gone for so long, like how are they gonna bring him back? And they had initially planned on bringing him back during Tom's trial in the Novacom saga, and for Will Ryan scheduling reasons
couldn't
do that.
Yeah.
And so they ended up writing that out of that episode. And so they talked about then again about her, her running in, or Connie running into Eugene, while she was doing her road trip. When Connie and Joanne do the road trip, maybe they'd run into Eugene, which would have been interesting.
Well, because he was in Washington.
Yeah, yeah. We find out next episode that he was in Washington for a bit of the time. There's also a scenario in which he was hiding in the Barclays house in Pokenberry, still working on his research, which
what?
Is, I don't know how that would have worked.
Interesting.
And obviously they didn't either, so they didn't do it.
That's so confusing that they would have that as a way to bring the Barclays back into it. And then we end up getting the Barclays anyway.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
They really wanted to have the Barclays back on.
Yeah.
What I'm surprised about.
But yeah, so they finally decided that, you know, Whit's going to be hiding Eugene in Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be how they bring him back in. Which is kind of crazy, but
I'm scrolling through Will Ryan's IMDb credits right now. Just because I was curious to see what Winnie the Pooh stuff he's in, because I am an avid Winnie the Pooh fan.
Yeah.
This man has been in so much stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you said a lot of stuff. This is a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's 93 IMDb credits. That's pretty many.
Yeah. Well, so his first, he voices Rabbit in A Day for Eeyore, for all those who know what that is. I do. And then...
Andrew Sabo, big Winnie the Pooh fan.
Have we talked about that on
this? Yes, I think so. I think so.
But, and interesting...
Stay tuned for his new podcast, Andrew the Pooh.
Do not tempt me. I will, and it will be bad. I don't even know what I would talk about. It would just be me geeking out about the fact that I have a Winnie the Pooh pillow pet that I keep on my bed religiously. Not because I use it, because it's less comfortable, but because it's a Winnie the Pooh pillow pet. Hi, friends. This is how I am. Yeah, absolutely nuts. He's so good. How did Focus on the Family get Will Ryan?
I imagine because Hal Smith was Owl.
Yeah.
So And they were both Will Ryan and Hal Smith were in the show from the beginning.
Yeah.
Will Ryan initially played Officer Harley, mm-hmm. who they then cut because he was an offensive stereotype who taught children not to trust police officers. So they cut him out and then you ended up using him once they introduced the character of Eugene in like the third album.
So they kept for the animated show of Avengers and Odyssey, which is not canon, but
whatever. No, and also bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. He also voices Eugene in that, so they kept the same.
No, they kept, I think, all of the same, like all the characters from Odyssey that show up in that series are voiced by the same actors.
But, interesting.
But yeah,
his most recent credit of note is being in The Bride of Finkelstein. Which, what is that?
I don't know.
Anyway.
He was in an episode of Family Guy playing Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I was going to say, that's a fairly recent one.
That's funny. That's from 2010.
From Family Guy. Last 10 years. That's decent. Recent, right?
Well, it's more recent than 1970-something when he started.
Yeah, fair.
Eugene's character is... I'm very glad to have him back.
Yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be fun talking about that.
Experiences. It feels more like Odyssey now that we've strayed far enough from the Novacom where we're getting more tangential.
We also haven't done an episode in Odyssey for like 6 episodes or something.
Yeah.
Because we were road tripping.
Yeah.
So.
But even last episode when we had Wit showing up and whatever, like, this feels good, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah.
And having Tom and Bernard feels really good too. Like it's a lot of the classic Odyssey characters.
It feels very comfortable. I would I'm kind of upset with Connie's level of immaturity in this episode. And maybe it's not, but I guess coming straight off of like everything with Mitch, like,
well, she was so well written
and so mature in that, like, I kind of hoped that there would be some level-headedness that transferred over, but
it's been a year and a half.
Yeah,
it's been like there's like 30 episodes in between the last two.
Yeah,
so
I think that's what we said last episode.
Yeah, like 3 albums worth of content, so it's understandable.
That's fair. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Those were my closing thoughts. We'll get into more stuff as we continue
to cover it
because it is a proper 3-parter.
Yeah, this is definitely setting up for something. I would say that it's entirely set up in a way that most 3-parters aren't, where like this whole episode is building to the reveal of Eugene, which we only get at the very end.
I mean, it's similar to Here Today, Gone Tomorrow.
Yeah,
that
I
ends
guess,
on
yeah.
a reveal and that sort of thing. But it's
good.
Yeah,
thesis, good episode.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. It's just plot, but it's good setup.
Yeah. Do you want to replay your plug from last week?
you guys have heard my plug, and I'm probably never going to be able to top that plug.
No. But I don't know.
Who knows?
We can hope.
Yeah. But, so go listen to my episode of Whelmed.
I'll
link it again, but that's all I'm saying. How about you, Andrew? You plugging anything?
No. The man, I started a job and I work in a hospital and I'm V busy right now.
Yeah.
Which is not going to get any easier. I don't know. I'm disappointed with the way that the Andrew Sable podcast has worked out this summer. I put up 2 episodes and they were decent. Like I actually, I think that they're noticeably pretty good.
Yeah.
But
I had a good time with both of them.
But, just the, you know, I mean, it's a secondary thing. It's a hobby thing. And this podcast takes priority over that. So I will put more like, yeah, this is my priority. This is my podcasting thing. So a lot of my secondary stuff is extra secondary. So
we're honored to have you.
Good Lord. What do you mean we're? Who else? Is...
Me and the audience.
Ah, the Chalk Squad, as it were.
Yes.
They're so honored. They should subscribe to our Patreon.
Do you want to hit on our upcoming plans now, or is that better to do at the end of covering Eugene's stuff? Should we set that up a little bit? All right. So we're still working out a little bit on what we're going to be doing going forward, especially Novacom. We're not jumping into Blaggard anytime soon, that sort of thing. Like, we just need some chill, jump around, whatnot, maybe record some episodes with guests and whatnot. But the next quote-unquote big thing we're going to cover the 3 episodes of Kidsborough.
Yeah.
After we finish up this Eugene Returns arc here.
Yeah.
So we got 2 more episodes of that coming out, and then we'll be jumping into Kidsborough, which are conveniently available for free listen on the Adventures in Odyssey official podcast. I can link to those episodes in the descriptions of these next couple. So if you haven't heard them, you have time to listen ahead. They were not album releases. They were put out on the Truth Chronicles, which is kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
But it's
interesting.
It's a fun, self-contained story.
Love it. Love Kidsborough. That was, I think, the last album I got.
It was Truth Chronicles.
I owned the tangible copy of it. I got it for Christmas a couple years ago. Very excited to cover those. Very, very excited. And it's a giant time jump from this.
Yeah.
It's like 7 years, 6 years. Something like that?
No. Kidsborough, maybe 5. I want to say it's not even that. But we'll get into the background of Kidsborough when we cover those episodes. I don't need to fill you guys in now. But that is what we're going to be covering.
Oh, wow. It's only 3 years. It aired in 2008.
That's what we're going to be. Yeah. So that's what we'll be covering in the near future. With bigger plans coming further out, we're still talking about some of that stuff. But if you want to start listening ahead,
don't worry, guys.
That's what we're doing.
Lots of Odyssey to cover. Yep.
Almost 1,000 episodes.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week.
Yeah. What are we covering, Andrew?
Oh, most surprising answer?
Answer.
There it is.
Episode 565. A Most Surprising Answer. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Wad Fam Chalk Pod is a presentation of the Lips Podcast Co-op. This show is a fan podcast and has no official affiliation with Adventures in Odyssey or Focus on the Family. As such, the copyright is ours under Creative Commons. Follow the podcast at Wad Fam Chalk Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or email us at wadfamchalkpod@gmail.com. Episode 41, A Most Intriguing Question, was hosted by Dylan Weaver and Andrew Acebo, and edited by Dylan Weaver. And I'm Nathan Haverstick, hoping you'll join us next time for more of the Wad Fam Chalk Pod.